When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown, 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 Georgia.
Now, here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter, Drew Butler.
Drew Butler, leader in the country in punts 49-plus. See if he booms this one. He does. Wow.
And Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and SEC Championship winning quarterback, Jake Fromm.
Flea flicker to get the night started. Downfield looking for Godwin. Into his hands. And guess which dogs are barking first?
Now, with the latest from around the world of the SEC and college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Welcome in. Into the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined alongside my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media. We are at Punt and Pass on X and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at Fromm Jake. Puntandpass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. Well, the regular season is over. That's right. Conference championship weekend wrapped up on Saturday. We do have the Army-Navy game coming up this weekend, of course. We will touch on that, but the college football playoff bracket is set. You've got your top 12 teams. You got the four who are getting that bye week in the quarterfinals. So we have the first round games that are taking place on campuses set and ready to roll, as well as the bowl matchups across the country. Jake Fromm, how are you, brother?
Man, I'm doing great. We played on Thursday night, got to slip away a little bit for the weekend, went home, saw some family, had a little Thanksgiving, you know, a little mix between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So, man, all is great. Back in Detroit, ready to start another week, play the Bills this weekend.
Huge game.
I'm pumped. College football was great watching at home with everybody. Man, what a time.
What a time indeed. The Georgia Bulldogs beat the Texas Longhorns for the second time this year. They are your 2024 SEC champions, a team that was the first team out about a month ago, Jake, climbs itself all the way up to the second seed. They get a bye week. They are the conference champions. Other games that happen over the weekend, the number one ranked Oregon Ducks win the Big Ten. They win a barn burner against Penn State, 45-37. They are the only remaining undefeated team in college football. They get the one seed in the college football playoff bracket. Game of the weekend, I think, outside maybe of that SEC championship game, but I think this game might have been better. The ACC championship, Clemson. Jake Fromm, I tip my hat to you after week one. You said, watch out for this Clemson Tiger team. They will be back. They are. They went on a 56-yard walk-off game-winning field goal to beat SMU 34-31. And to kick things off, Saturday early, the Big 12 championship game, it was not even a fight. Arizona State whoops up on Iowa State 45-19. So Boise State wins the Mountain West. Arizona State wins the Big 12. They claim the other two bye weeks, pairing up with Georgia and Oregon as the top four seeds in the college football playoff. Jake, we'll dive into the games here in just a little bit and recap what happened. But I think most of our listeners would definitely want to talk about the college football playoff bracket, how it ended up, what the first round matchups are. We'll get to that in just a second. But before we do that, this episode of Punt and Pass presented to you by our awesome partners over at Salomon Brothers Jewelers. It is time, people. The holidays are here and Salomon Brothers has you covered. It's the only jewelry store that you need to go to and that you can trust in the Atlanta area. They have three amazing locations for you to choose from. The OG location, 17th floor Tower Place in Buckhead. If you're in the North Metro like myself, head on over to Alpharetta just past the Avalon in a brand new location in Sharpsburg, right off 85. I just passed it earlier today. I was in LaGrange. I saw the Sharpsburg exit. I almost pulled over just to go check out the newest Solomon Brothers location. When you're in store and you tell them that Punt and Pass sent you, you can get up to 20% off your jewelry purchase. They have the best diamond and jewelry inventory that you could ever ask for. Watches for the guys, accessories for the ladies. Head on over to Solomon Brothers Jewelers. Go to SolomonBrothers.com or check them out on social media at Solomon Brothers. Again, mention Punt and Pass sent you. You can get up to 20% off your in-store jewelry purchase. Guys, go there. Football's over now. Go there on a Saturday. They got a full bar. Get you a cocktail. Let your lady friend or your significant other walk around. Tell them what your budget is. They'll keep you within that budget, and you will win this holiday season. Shout out to Solomon Brothers, SolomonBrothers.com. Okay, so you woke up on Sunday. The games were done. Really, Jake, there was one question because of how the ACC championship game played out. That, of course, being a walk-off by Clemson. Clemson was up big. SMU came storming back in the fourth quarter. Clemson wins. They get the automatic bid. SMU has a great argument to get the last spot. However, last week, Alabama was holding that spot. So the main question came down to who was more deserving, which way will the committee go? And it was starting to leak on social media that SMU was going to get that spot. And Jake, that is what happened. So Spencer, if you want to go ahead and put the bracket up, SMU gets that final seed, Jake, from the final spot in the college football playoff. So the ACC gets two teams in, Clemson and SMU. The SEC gets three teams in, Texas, Tennessee, and Georgia. The Big Ten gets three teams in, four teams in, Indiana, Ohio State, Oregon, and Penn State. Notre Dame takes your independent bid, and then the champs of the Mountain West and the Big 12 round things out. Were you surprised at all that SMU got that final spot?
No, not surprised because of the way they fought themselves back into that game. You know, if this had been a blowout, I think the committee probably would have gone in a different direction. The committee found themselves kind of in a pickle because if they pick Alabama over SMU, then you are kind of putting a lot on teams that play in these conference championship games. And you're putting them
setting
in a pickle.
A precedent.
Right. You're setting precedent, man. If you lose in these games, then that is a very bad thing. And we're not going to reward you for that. And then on the flip side, if you keep Alabama out of it, then you're not putting a big emphasis on strength of schedule. We know the Alabama AD has kind of come out and set this kind of press release here on X about not going out and playing these teams, and they have a bunch scheduled here in the future. But let's not forget, you lost to Vandy and to Oklahoma, two
SEC teams.
You lost three conference
games. Yes.
You lost conference games, so I don't know kind of where that came from. That was out of left field. I guess they just needed to feel like, to make themselves relevant here when they're not here playing for a national championship the first time in a long time. So, I don't know what that was, but the committee found themselves in kind of a pickle, and I'm glad they went here with the SMU route and not – putting teams in a bind for losing and playing in these conference championship games.
You know, Kirby Smart was asked during the college football playoff, selection show about the seeding, because as you can see here, if you're watching on YouTube, we've got the bracket up, like Arizona State and Boise State, who are ranked way outside the top eight. Even they are getting byes because of the conference champion tie-ins to the college football playoff. So Texas, who's the fifth-ranked team in the country, and Notre Dame, who's the sixth-ranked team in the country, they're having to play in the first round because they're either not in a conference or they didn't win their conference championship. It begs the question of moving forward, should you have those tie-ins for a conference champion, or should you just go based on seeding? And then more importantly, when you look at the routes as to what teams have to do and the gauntlets they have to run to hopefully make the national championship game, You could easily make the argument that Oregon, the only undefeated team, the clear-cut number one team in the country, has the toughest route. They are playing the winner of the Tennessee-Ohio State matchup, which should be a dandy. And then, of course, you have Clemson and Texas teeing off. They'll play Arizona State. So the Arizona State winner of Clemson-Texas matchup goes on to play whoever wins that Oregon, Tennessee, or Ohio State matchup. Should you reseed, meaning should Oregon get the highest ranked or the lowest ranked team, whichever way you want to look at it, highest to 12, I guess, regardless of where they win in their first round matchup, just like every other playoff scenario in any other sport does. Kirby Smart kind of said like, yeah, I mean, I don't know of any sport or league that doesn't do it that way. However, the college football playoff bracket is set up as is, and Georgia has a really favorable path. They're going to play the winner of the Indiana-Notre Dame game, and then Boise State is above them, so they will play the winner of the Boise State-SMU/Penn State game.
Yeah, I think you're dead on correct here. Oregon being the number one team in the country, the only undefeated team in the country, I mean, they by far, to me, have the hardest path to get to the national championship game. This Tennessee-Ohio State game is going to be a doozy. Both of these teams are very talented football games, talented football teams, and they're going to be geared up and ready to roll. And then they're going to go play Texas, and then they'll get, you know, probably Georgia, Penn State, Notre Dame here on this side. So, I mean, to me, they got the worst end of this deal. They just have to play, you know, one less of a game. And I really like where Georgia's at, too, on their side of the bracket. So I think it would have been very favorable for Texas if they won the SEC championship. Obviously, they did not to be on that side. But I think even where Texas is at, I mean, Texas is going to make a good case for getting to the semifinals and then going to play Oregon. So I think you can make the case for a lot of these teams to be in really good spots, except really for Oregon.
I know. No, you're totally right. I think that Clemson-Texas matchup is going to be awesome in Austin. A lot of orange there, but it should be a really good game. Clemson has a ton of confidence right now. And Cade Klubnik, he's playing some really good ball at quarterback. I think Tennessee-Ohio State's the game of the weekend for the first round matchups. Should be great in Columbus, Ohio. Tennessee, I don't necessarily think that's too far of a drive, Jake, from Knoxville over to Columbus. So I would assume Vol Nation to show up in a big, big way. SMU, Penn State, I mean, it leaves a little bit to be desired. There's no question about it. Then Indiana, Notre Dame. That's the standalone game on that first Friday night. The first ever playoff game at a home campus. It's in South Bend. It's an in-state game. Get in prices right now, Jake, are like over $1,000. Wow. It's crazy. So this will be, I think since 1991, I saw this statistic today. This will be the first time since 1991 that a home Notre Dame football game will not be broadcast on NBC. NBC, of course, has the relationship and the rights for Notre Dame. That deal was signed way back in the early 90s. So every home game in South Bend has been aired on NBC. But since this is a college football playoff game, it will be aired by ABC, ESPN. So a little wrinkle there. Guess who that first game was, or maybe the last game. I might be getting this confused. But the last time Notre Dame had a home game where it wasn't broadcast on NBC, they played Indiana. It might have also been the first time it was ever broadcast on NBC, but you get where I'm going there. So it should be a great matchup. Notre Dame's been playing some great ball since that disastrous loss in week two to Northern Illinois. The winner of that game goes on to play Georgia. So Clemson wins because they won the Clemson's in because they won the ACC championship. Let's talk a little bit more about conference championship week because it was so bizarre. The fact that Indiana was just like in. We didn't even have a conversation about it. It was bizarre that Tennessee and Ohio State just got to sit at home on a Saturday. Hey, we're in. Don't even worry about it. Meanwhile, Georgia and Texas, a slobber knocker inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The game goes to overtime. Georgia loses their quarterback. Georgia loses their punter. Like injuries happen. This is the game of football. Penn State, they played a barn burner against Oregon 45-37. Like, it takes a lot out of you. I do understand that winning those games, you get 24 days off, Jake. But, man, conference championship weekend took a toll on the Georgia Bulldogs, albeit they won the SEC championship.
Yeah, I think taking a toll is an understatement. Losing your starting quarterback, possibly losing your punter as well. I mean, that was a physically fatiguing, physically just tough football game, mentally, emotionally. Going to overtime, what a huge and significant win that was. And we're going to get a new and revamped kind of Georgia team going into this playoff. This is going to be new for a lot of people, a lot of eyes. Man, I cannot wait to see what this team looks like behind Gunnar Stockton. So I think it's going to be great.
Okay, so let's talk about Georgia for a second. Spencer, you can take that graphic down if you want. Gunnar Stockton comes in for the injured Carson Beck, leads the Dogs to a victory in overtime against Texas. He got clobbered in overtime. The helmet came off. Carson Beck had to come in for the last play. He was able to hand the ball off to Trevor Etienne, which was the game-winning touchdown. So Stockton from Raven County, Tiger, Georgia, comes into the game, gets a victory. Now, assumingly, he will be the starter versus the Indiana-Notre Dame winner. Let's assume it's Notre Dame. I remember another quarterback a couple of years ago who came in and played his first action to replace an injured quarterback, and then he got his first start as the Georgia quarterback against a Notre Dame team. Who was that?
I don't know. You tell me, Coach.
It was you.
No, I know it was.
Jake Fromm, baby.
No,
talk
that was
through that, because that's a big spot for old Gunnar Stockton. At least he's got 24 days to get ready.
Yep. No doubt. He has a lot more time than I did. And man, he's been there. He's been preparing. I had a great conversation with him this offseason, just kind of where he's at preparing and just trying to stay mentally focused, even though you're not the guy taking reps and you're not the guy starting. Kind of where you're at mentally, and kind of emotionally, you know, with that as well. So, man, I'm so pumped for Gunnar. I think he is just geared up and ready to take on this opportunity, take the bull by the horns, and really, expect a lot of good things from him. The offense kind of may shift a little bit in identity, maybe using his legs a little bit more, and a lot of these kind of run pass, options things of that nature. So, man, it's going to be awesome. I know they're going to get a really good plan. But man, I just hope his head is screwed on a little bit tighter than it was. Cannot believe he held
on to the ball
to that incredible football. Yeah, because if he drops that ball, that is it. Game's over. Texas picks it up, and
dude, you're so right. And it was targeting. Not saying that it should have been, because I guess the explanation of the rules.
Yeah. Not saying it should have been, but the way it's been called and the kind of the precedent has been set, it's kind of like, dang, like if that was targeting a couple weeks ago, I mean, what is this? So, but man, tough kid. He's resilient. I can't wait to see what it looks like.
You could feel the energy in the stadium change when he came in the third quarter to take over Carson Beck. You could see the sideline and the guys on the field rallying around Gunnar Stockton. I mean, Lawson Lucky with the toe drag to catch that ball on the sidelines. That was a huge play in the game. I have to give a major shout out to Kirk Benedict and Kirby Smart for calling that fake punt that Drew Bobo ran to perfection. Arian Smith catches it on the little touch pass forward to him. That extends a drive. Kirby Smart after the game, loved the quote. He said, hey, those are a lot easier to call when you know you're going to the college football playoff, regardless of the outcome of the game.
Yeah, no doubt.
But it was perfectly executed. Very well-timed call. Everybody seemed to step up. The defense played great. Jake, first half, Dogs are down 6-3. Really nothing's going their way. Texas threw for like 150 in the first quarter, yet you're down 3 points. You sit there as a Georgia fan, you're like, okay, we're probably going to win this game. Like, they're letting us hang around a little bit too long. And that is what the identity of this football team is. We talked about it on radio this morning. You could easily make the argument, I think you might have alluded to this a little bit throughout the season, that this is Kirby Smart's best coaching job since he's been at Georgia. I think the Dogs have been trailing at halftime 5 or 6 times so far this season. Of course, Bama, they lost. Ole Miss, they lost. But the other games, they scratch and claw and they find a way to win football games. That's what they do. They've done it in the biggest moments. And this time it was for an SEC championship and a top seed and a bye in the college football playoff.
Yeah, I mean, you could not be more dead on about this. Watching that first half, you're just watching Texas just not take advantage of all the opportunities that they've been given. You're like,
missed field goals.
How? You know, missing guys wide open, missed field goals, missed two field goals, the penalties, turnovers. It's like, dude, you had a great opportunity to jump on and jump ahead and really kind of squash any kind of momentum that Georgia had in this game, and you just squandered it, squandered every opportunity. And let's also not forget that when Gunner came in, Gunner didn't come in and just kind of manage the football game because you're managing from ahead and hand the ball off. Like, no, he came in down in this football game and won this football game.
Yeah.
And three, I think what kind of juiced the sideline and it's going to juice a lot of people, a lot of fans around the state. I think there's something special in this this new era of college football and NIL and guys transferring. There's something to be said about a guy from your state who loves Georgia for Georgia. He just wants to be the quarterback for this program and this university, who stuck with it through thick and thin, gets his opportunity in the college football playoff. Man, I think there's something special about that. And I could not be more excited for him.
Yeah, really cool. I mean, Oscar Delp after the game, screaming Raven County, Georgia. Fun, yeah. I mean, he was obviously so excited for Gunner. And Holly Rowe, what was she doing? She was like cutting him off. She wouldn't even let him talk. The guy was just trying to say, I love this team. I love this university. I love my teammates. She like would not let him get an answer out. And how about Kirby Smart? The dude almost started crying. He was just saying how proud he was of Gunner. Then he walked off. So highly emotional. And I said this on Thursday's podcast. I said, yes, you can go out there and win the SEC championship. But just as, if not even more important than that for this team specifically, was getting the bye week. They needed it in the worst way. Huge shout out to Trevor Etienne, 16 carries, 94 yards, two touchdowns. I did not think he was even going to play. They said he was going to try to. I thought it'd be maybe five carries here and there. Trevor Etienne and Peyton Woodring, the kicker, scored every point that Georgia had against Texas this season in their two matches.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Georgia becomes the first team to beat Texas twice in the same season since Texas A&M did that all the way back in 1909. So while Texas made it to the conference championship game in their first year, they were unable to beat Georgia. Seems like a nice little Georgia-Texas rivalry has spun up very quickly, and they could play again. I will say, Jake, Texas did not travel. I mean, it was 80% Georgia fans inside the stadium.
Really?
The atmosphere was really good, as opposed to years past, Jake, where 40 minutes before kickoff, that place is slam-packed. No, it was much more of a dribble into the stadium. Seats were probably a little bit empty at kickoff. Then it filled up, but no Texas fans were there at all. Georgia fans showed out. They took advantage of a great opportunity to get down to Atlanta. The weather was super nice and packed that stadium with some red and black. And of course, it mattered big time in the end. But think about this. Think about this. Texas fans, you know, budgeting, let's just say, for hopefully.
Yeah, that was my question. It's got to be a college football playoff effect, right?
Well, yeah. And they didn't find out they were playing in the SEC championship game until last Saturday night. Remember, they played A&M late.
Yeah.
So that's expensive if you want to fly. Forget driving. I mean, that's a hike.
Yep.
But you come to Atlanta for the SEC championship game. Now they lost that game, so they're playing Clemson at home. Winner of that game, where do they go? Atlanta for the Peach Bowl. Okay. Yeah. And then if they win that game, they could be back in Atlanta on January 20th in the national championship if they were to win the semifinal. So I don't know. Like, maybe Texas fans are just holding out hope, but they were not there. And I think it kind of added to that little bit of a lackadaisical approach to some of these conference championship games. I mean, dude, there was nobody at the Big 12 game, nobody at the Big 10 game, and the ACC had to tarp off some of the 300 at Charlotte. Yes, it's crazy.
Dang. I mean, that's, to me, that is a huge college football playoff effect. And I guess fans are budgeting, man. Times are God, times are tough, man, and kind of this effect of Biden's economy a little bit, dollars. And yeah. You know, I mean, like this is a lot of football games if you think about
it. Is.
I mean, season tickets, and then hey, I don't know how many more playoff games my team is going to play. Like, if I knew there was one, possibly two, hey, I could do. I mean, you could play four games,
yeah,
throughout this stretch, and that's a big deal, and that's a big commitment.
Hey, look, if you're budgeting, I have something, a little hot tip for you. If you're budgeting, whether you're traveling for the holidays, if you're budgeting, whether you're going to some of these games, if you're budgeting and you need to get a phenomenal holiday gift, head on over to Salomon Brothers Jewelers. It's the only place you need to win this holiday season and impress your significant other. Check out Salomon Brothers, three amazing locations right here in Atlanta. Sharpsburg is the new one just south of the city. The OG 17th floor tower place in Buckhead, and of course in Alpharetta, just past the Avalon. When you're in store, mention Punt and Pass sent you. You can get up to 20% off your jewelry purchase. They've got the best staff. They've got an unmatched inventory that will blow your mind, and they have an in-store experience that is simply the best. Big shout out to Solomon Brothers. It's the holiday season. They can fit your budget, whatever it is. I promise you, I've done it. It's the best. Check them out at Solomon Brothers on social media, solomonbrothers.com. Okay, Roddy Nabulsi from UGA Sports tweeted out a little bit less than an hour ago. Updates. Georgia quarterback Carson Beck suffered an elbow injury during Saturday's SEC Conference Championship game. He and his family are exploring treatment options, and there is currently no timetable on his return. Additionally, punter Brett Thorson sustained a knee injury to his non-kicking leg in Saturday's contest and will require season-ending surgery. Bummer to hear about Thorson. It looked bad. It buckled, non-contact. He was having a tremendous season. Hope his recovery is quick. And as far as it goes with Carson Beck, Coach, I don't know, might be a little bit of gamesmanship in that news release because it did not look good. On the replays, as far as that UCL Tommy John elbow area, that sucks. And it's tough.
Yeah,
for
dude, man, that's terrible. Hate it for him. Man, just to kind of end that way, probably kind of his career there. And man, that just that sucks. It's such a weird and unfortunate play, right? Because it's not an end of game Hail Mary. It's an end of half Hail Mary. Where you know you don't have to do that. You're just trying to score and get a touchdown. And for us as quarterbacks, you can go to any NFL kind of QB room, and I guarantee you, if you ask QBs, hey, about the Hail Mary before halftime, hey, how do you feel about it? And it's, don't really feel great, because probably 90% of the time it's going to end in either a bad play, a sack, or a pick, right?
Yeah.
No, you know,
go out there and make something happen.
Yeah, nobody wants to voluntarily just go out there, hey, go throw a pick. But of course, I'm going to do it if the game's online. I got to score a touchdown. Absolutely. Yes. And, you know, there's other plays that could work and be useful, man. But I just, man, when I saw it, I'm like, man, this is just. I hate it because it didn't have – that play didn't have to happen. Obviously, you know, being aggressive and that kind of mindset, you're going for points. But, man, I hate it.
A little wrinkle that happened during the game too. I mean, these two guys go down, Carson Beck and Brett Thorson, starting quarterback, starting punter. Well, Carson Beck is also the starting holder.
Yeah, Brett I saw that
Thorson
too.
Thorson is their backup holder. They were on the third string holder, Gunnar Stockton. And let me just tell you right now, Gunnar Stockton probably hadn't gotten a meaningful rep holding for Peyton Woodring since training camp.
He probably did it one time during training camp too.
Exactly. That is an operation that needs to really lock in and focus. Peyton Woodring's been a big part of Georgia's offense, putting points up on the board. So look, again, going back to that bye week, it's massive. Georgia's going to be able to sit back and scout Indiana versus Notre Dame. And that is that. What'd you think about Kirby calling out Greg Sankey essentially right in his face post game? I thought it was awesome.
Wow. I thought it was awesome. Cameraman was on point. I mean, as soon as he said it, turned right to Sankey and got to see the reaction.
Sankey going to do? Fine him? I mean, no. It's just a great jab for Kirby, I think, to essentially say, like, you know what, dude? We run the SEC. Like, you and your staff sent us on the road. Of course, Sankey probably had very little to do with it. But he was standing there. He was in the way. Jake, you and I have been around coaches where some days, if you see him in the hallway, you might just want to duck into a room and get out of the way.
you just catch strays, and it may not be you, but you may be the one to set him off there in that moment. And sometimes you just got to take it. And right there is Greg Sankey. He took it.
Yes.
It sucks to be that innocent bystander, but you took it. No matter how innocent or not innocent he is, I really don't know. I don't know exactly how much say he has in it or not. Man, exactly like you said, it runs through Georgia, and to have that team go through that gauntlet like they did.
Dude, gauntlet.
And to come out on top through, you know, in the SEC, I think is a huge testament to their team program. And I think that's why people gravitate towards Kirby.
Yeah,
and love him, because he just calls it how he sees it, man. And yeah, you never know what's going to come out of his mouth.
Furniture shopping can be overwhelming. There are so many options, and it's hard to know what's actually worth it. That's why I always turn to reviews to guide my decisions. If something has hundreds of five-star reviews, I'm paying attention. And Bob's Discount Furniture has tons of highly rated pieces that make choosing a whole lot easier. Like their Elm dining set, which has over 700 five-star reviews. It's a gorgeous setup with a real marble table and comfortable Bobapedic seating that instantly upgrades your dining space. And at $9.99, it's a super approachable way to get that high-end look. Or check out Bob's Copper Radiance Queen Extra Firm Mattress. Over 400 five-star reviews and recommended by Consumer Reports. It's designed with a copper-infused cover and high-density Bobapedic foam for support. Plus, it comes with a 20-year warranty. And if you're looking for a sofa upgrade, the Modular Bob Sectional is a customer favorite with over 1,000 five-star reviews. It's got soft, durable upholstery, storage, wireless charging, and starts at just $250 per piece, so you can customize it without overthinking it. For quality furniture and everyday low prices, shop at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Dogs back in the Sugar Bowl. So that is January 1st. It's that 8:30 kick, playing again winner of the Notre Dame Indiana game. So you could have Georgia Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl. A lot of historical ties to that matchup down there in New Orleans. I do want to touch on the ACC championship game, but first let me talk about the Big 12 championship game. I got to put my hand up. I'm eating crow. I have egg on my face. Whatever you want to say. I'm stupid. You're smart. I'm ugly. You're handsome. All that stuff. Because on this podcast last Thursday and on many other shows, as I was doing interviews late last week, I was like, yeah, I really like Iowa State. I think their defense is going to stand up. Specifically, I think they'll be able to slow down Cam Scadaboo, however you pronounce it. And then I said in my prize pick selection, I said, I'm going to go under Cam Scadaboo, under 120 rushing yards. Jake, this kid went off. 16 carries, 170 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was unfreaking stoppable. Arizona State, one of the hotter teams in the country right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take some ownership too. I mean, I got put on notice for this guy as well, Cam Scadaboo. I knew he was a good player. I didn't know he was this kind of player. I got to watch him a lot during this football game. He made an incredible play. They were in the red zones earlier in the game, and he takes a handoff or a trick play. He starts kind of whirl a bird around and starts losing ground. Before you know it, he's 15 yards in the backfield. And then he just throws it away, quote unquote, at a tight end who just ended up being on the backside of the play. Honestly, killer instinct there to make that kind of play. He throws it. It's just a pass. It's just an incomplete. So instead of taking a 15-yard negative play, he turns it just into an incomplete pass. I thought it was an incredible play. Scary now if I'm on that side of the ball, especially an offensive coach. I'm like, what is this guy doing? Yeah. The ball hung up in the air for a little bit. But, man, in this business, it is a results-based business and not about processes, as much as I hate to say it. And he got away with one, and it was a great play.
Yeah, no question. So Arizona State gets a bye week. They'll be playing in the Peach Bowl. So the Sun Devils coming to Atlanta. We will get to the ACC championship quickly. Any thoughts on Oregon allowing Penn State to hang 37 on them? Is that troublesome at all moving towards the playoff?
Yeah, I just, from what I, Dan Lanning, defensive coach, a lot of physicality and grit, and that was something they wanted to instill in their football team after they played Georgia in that opening game a couple years ago. We have to get on their level in terms of physicality. It's kind of surprising to me. Man, this is a shootout. This is an incredible game.
I know, damn.
And you got really to see just how resilient this Oregon football team is, and they just find a way to win and find a way to get it done. So, man, they got some really good players. Obviously, got the quarterback, Dylan Gabriel. Their running back is just a grinder back there in the backfield, 20 carries, 87 yards, 2 touchdowns. And this receiver, Tez, my brother said, was Bo Nix's roommate, I think in high school, or I think he's an adopted brother almost. He was at Troy and kind of got him to come to Oregon with him. So great story there. And this dude was a baller, very dynamic football player, receiver for Oregon.
All right, wrapping up, ACC championship game. I mean, Clemson gets off to a great start, and then SMU comes roaring back in the fourth quarter. I believe, yes, they scored 17 fourth quarter points. Clemson then gets a great kickoff return because SMU scored with, 11 seconds left? Clemson had a timeout. Clemson gets a great kickoff return. Greg McElroy on the coverage calls out exactly what Clemson's about to do. Hey, watch this deep in route. The middle of the field is going to be wide open. He should get down. They should call timeout. That's exactly what they do. They trot out Hoosier, their freshman kicker, for a 56-yard game winner. And this kid pured it. My buddy Sean McDonough called the game to perfection. What a win for Clemson. It's just what Dabo Swinney does, man. They win conference championships. The Tigers are back in the college football playoff.
Yeah, I mean, for the non-Clemson fans, you may not love kind of what they do or what they're about, but you have to respect it. Now, I mean, I think Dabo does such a job of creating his own culture, bringing in his own guys to buy into what they are, who they are as a program. Let me tell you, man, it works. I mean, Clemson, yeah, they win ACC championships, and they find their way into these college football playoffs. And you never know. They're a team you just don't want to let hang around because they're well coached, and there's a lot of belief in that program. So, I mean, to be way ahead up at halftime and to let a team kind of come back on you, you get tied. I mean, there's a lot of players and a lot of teams that look around. Yep. Kind of wide-eyed, what do we just do? Man, but they stuck with it. They found a way to win at the end, which is an incredible testament to them.
All right. Well, playoffs are set. How about this? On Thursday's episode, we'll take a little bit of a look around the other bowl matchups, Jake. I think that would be well worth our time. I do want to talk about the Heisman race as well. I believe, is it tonight, guys, where the Heisman finalists are announced? I believe it's going to be later on tonight because that ceremony is on Saturday night. Of course, we'll take a look at the Army-Navy game. How could we not? I mean, these two teams had incredible seasons. That game's happening in Baltimore this Saturday. And then, these games are going to be right back in our face here in short order. So while it was a crazy conference championship weekend and the regular season is done, we still got good stuff to talk about. We'll keep it locked in right here on Punt and Pass. Be sure to follow us on social media. We're at Punt and Pass on X and Instagram, at Drew Butler, at From Jake, puntandpass.com. As I've told you, and you need a reminder, this episode of Punt and Pass presented to you by Solomon Brothers Jewelers. It's the only jewelry store that you need to go to in Atlanta. They will take the best care of you. Walk in there, get yourself a cocktail, hang out, talk to some of the best friendly staff in all of our great city of Atlanta. Tell them your budget. Tell them what your significant other wants. They will make you look fantastic this holiday season. When you're in store, tell them Punt and Pass sent you. You can get up to 20% off your jewelry purchase. Check them out at SolomonBrothers.com and at SolomonBrothers on social media. Jake Fromm, anything on the way out, my man?
No, man. It was a great wrap up to the regular season of college football. It kind of feels weird saying that. Man, it's going to be an incredible playoff. It's going to be a lot like a feel to an NFL-style postseason. Can't wait to enjoy this ride with you for the first time. It's going to be awesome.
Absolutely. I saw Shane Beamer on the sideline pregame, too. Great. I mean, he is a really nice guy. He's a stud.
Oh, Beam's awesome.
Right up. Yeah, I got to talk to his son. Told him congrats on a great season. He was doing some stuff on SEC Network, so that was cool too. I don't know. I think
Todd Monken was there too at the SEC Championship.
Yeah. I don't know Coach Monken, so I didn't have a chance to say hello to him, but it was cool. Oh, I did see Matthew McConaughey. I'll save that story for Thursday.
Can't wait to hear that. It'd be awesome.
There you go. Excellent. Everybody have a great week. Thanks for tuning in. Rate, review, subscribe. We will talk to you on Thursday. See ya.
Yep.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really. Or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really? Really?